Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions. Here's your moderator, Tom Temin.
Welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. Digital modernization is the adoption of new technology. It involves upgrading systems, platforms, and software to meet today's modern needs. When agencies set out to improve their digital transformation, they must take advantage of innovative technology to reimagine an organization's processes, culture, people, and customer experiences. It can result in new business models, revenue streams, policies, and values. During a recent ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller, he spoke to experts on the best practices for furthering an agency's digital modernization, as well as the benefits and importance of digital modernization. Included in the panel was Nagesh Rao, Chief Information Officer at the Bureau of Industry and Security with the Department of Commerce, and Jamie Holcomb, Chief Information Officer for the Patent and Trademark Office, who you'll hear from first.
It's not just about the technology. You also have to transform your culture. So what the USPTO did was we moved from a project-oriented IT department into a product-oriented IT department. In other words, we mapped the 158 separate unique projects that had start and stops and fits and stops and, you know, all this chaos. And we created products where the product owners are actually from the business unit. So the whole culture is IT doesn't deliver unless it's a business value, a business solution, a business priority. And that is decided by the business unit owner, the product owner, who is met with a technical architect or a technical engineer, someone right alongside. But we mapped those 158 different projects to 30 products across four product lines. And in that way, we transform the culture and the way IT delivers.
All right, that's a good one. So here's my quick follow-up. We hear this all the time. Never the technology, it's always the culture. I think someone should have a sign or some sort of saying that we can capture it. Is this working? Do people, and of course you're going to tell me it is, because you're not going to tell me, no, Jason, we failed, but how's it working? How do you know it's working? That's the better question.
No, I love that. We have failed, Jason. There's a lot of things we have failed, but you fail fast and you fail small, such that you succeed and then you scale only on your success. You have to do it in 30, 60, and 90 day increments, or else it just doesn't work. So if you don't show results in 90 days, then stop doing what you're doing. The government is terrible for what's called sunk cost. You have to understand, don't feed the beast. Don't keep investing. Don't throw good money after bad. Stop, adjust. You know, that's the whole thing. I love the fact we got to get it out there. Government can fail. Just don't fail over and over and over again. That's my answer.
All right, that's a good one. I'm sure you'll get plenty of questions about the setup of the product owner. So we'll leave that open. Nagesh, you tell us something we don't know about the Bureau of Industry and Security.
Sure. And Jamie, thanks for starting off with a thunderous set of remarks. I concur with Jamie 100%. He and I are brethren as part of the Commerce Tribe for CIO. We're part of the Commerce CIO Council, as we're both bureaus and agencies within Commerce. And Jamie's been a fantastic partner and collaborator. He's helped me get through some sticky situations at BIS. Jamie's been just awesome asset and resource for us at Commerce. And just, I walked into a situation in June 2020 where our systems dated back to 2004, 2008 era of time, like Windows 7 devices, all that kind of stuff. And so within the last year and a half, we've transformed it all. We're now operating on current tech standards, 2021 present kind of efforts. And you know, for me, I think a couple of the big things we're doing right off the bat is embracing more, not only what Jamie talked about, products ownership. I 100% we're doing the same exact model as Jamie's done. We're mapping out the business line requirements, ensuring the customers within BIS, both internal and external stakeholders, are plugging in and being part of that 360 perspective that I've advocated for in the past. You know, the customer is a myriad when it comes to the federal products and offerings, right? You've got your government folks, you've got your non-government folks, you've got your private citizens, you've got the indirect and direct plays. And by playing that CX360, a couple of big things I've done, I've poached someone from the USDS DHS team. So Mike Palmer is my associate CIO and chief experience officer. He's on week six in the job, but he's going to be pushing hard on the CX play of how we make sure the voice of the customer is heard when we do our digital product offerings. The other big piece I've been doing ever now that we've gotten a stronger hardware stance that's more up to date in with current industry trends, data, and not only just data, but being smart about the data and the use of data in conjunction with the cloud. The pandemic, if there's anything I can say that's been a silver lining from this pandemic, is the fact that you saw this burst of energy in IT maturity across the globe. 10 years of IT advances happened in a year and a half. That if you look at the New York Times and Economist, there have been some initial preliminary studies on this. They've seen massive advances, and it's because you've now got a larger customer base that has all of a sudden had to switch and switch into how to engage in a hybrid and a virtual environment. And so BIS is one of those agencies that had to learn how to adapt quickly because we were a bureau that did not historically allow telework. And because of the remote maximized telework situation, we've now adopted and adapted into a posture where we can now do that while maintaining our core services offerings. Because for our bureau, because it's a national security bureau, we need people in the building, but we've created a flexibility so that they come in the building when they need to and then work from home when they can. And I'll pause there.
All right, very good. The one quick follow-up I'll ask of you is, so Mike is an associate CIO, chief experience officer, kind of an interesting combination. Is that something that you saw a need for and said, okay, yeah, we need somebody to do this type? And what does that really mean to be chief experience officer?
Yeah, no, great follow-up. So from the time I served with Maria at SBA before she and I departed within weeks of each other to our new purchase last summer, that was something I had been watching over the horizon over the last, you know, few years of my public sector tenure, was this need of the customer, right? I've seen it talked about. There's a lot of people talk about it, but I'm still looking for folks who will actually act on it. And I wanted to act on it because I wanted to take the technology and the tools and say, hey, a tool is in the toolkit. These digital technologies, there are tools in the toolkit. How does this help augment? How does this help effect a better product offering or better service offering from the federal government? You know, a good example of this is AI. Everyone talks about AI, and it's nauseating sometimes when I hear about artificial intelligence, because I'm kind of going, do you actually know what you're talking about when you talk about that stuff? As a materials engineer, as someone who's worked on semiconductor manufacturing, I actually know a little bit because I studied under some serious folks who worked in AI. I'm no expert. So when I hear other people talk about it, I'm going, I know experts. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? But one thing I did hear one time that caught my attention that I thought was good was augmented intelligence. Look at AI as augmenting the way you do work, right? Because I think there's this fear factor when you hear something like AI that, oh, the robots are going to come replace my job. You're pushing me out of work. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is putting a tool set you can be more impactful, more effective, and more support service oriented. Remember, 600. The population in the United States is around 360 million, if I recall. It's in the 300 million plus, right? We need to touch the citizens of the U.S. And it's a massive country. And our federal workforce is like total, like a mill, right? So we're a fraction of our population. We need to service our population. So let's be effective. If we can do more, let's try to do more and be smart with how we do more with the resources we have.
All right. It's always difficult when for government agencies, because everyone is their customer and everyone is their customer. So the metrics question, how are you measuring impact? How are you measuring success? And how do you define what those metrics are? Because again, same problem, everyone's your customer and really everyone's your customer. Jamie.
So we got product owners who have to describe KPIs or your key performance indicators. It's not all the metrics. It's your key ones, and it has to be business oriented. So the big deal is to make sure you can measure it, because if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. I mean, it's really simple as far as that goes. What are the biggest ones? Better, cheaper, and faster. Of course, come on, right? Better, everybody's always going after better, and they keep forgetting cheaper and faster. What? Well, the whole thing is, I've already told you, if it's not done in 90 days, I don't want to hear about it, because that's just pie in the sky stuff. Don't talk. Of course, you have to have a plan for 1 year. Yeah. But if you don't get traction in those 90 days, shut up, adapt, do the right thing. All right. That's the time period, right? The faster, the cheaper part. For God's sake, do not consider just that you have contractors and labor. What about your federal workforce? Oh, well, that's, you know, I can't do anything about that. No, there is. Make sure you show them how expensive federal workers truly are. Put that loaded benefits on top of it. Make sure you understand it's 33 to 38%. Every federal worker gets great benefits. If you're not adding that on top of your cost, you're not showing those true costs. Facilities mentioned, I think, by Thomas. So the fact of the matter is you have to include everything. Now, you might not have a chargeback program. That's okay. But make sure people understand what it actually costs. Because if they think they can get it for free from IT, they will. One of the things I say about Measure, if you can get it better from a cloud provider, go. I'm trying to create a microcosm of supply and demand within the USPTO between the product owners and my IT staff. Remember, I said there's four product lines: patents, trademarks, back office business, and IT infrastructure. The back office business and the IT infrastructure need to create those shared services, because if you can get them better elsewhere in the commercial world, go bring it. Don't be relying upon me. I want better, cheaper, and faster. That's my answer.
All right. I got a couple of questions coming in, but quickly, Nagesh, you want to weigh in on that, or Andrew?
I echo everything Jamie just said. I think the caveat that I would add also is there's the direct and the indirect costs, right? And IT is pervasive all across the line from start to finish. And you're seeing that more and more, especially with mobile device use, right? Because with mobile device use, you're seeing an awful lot of the federal employees, when they have a mobile phone, they're doing a lot more with that mobile phone than they used to, especially with the capabilities with data, cloud, and whatnot. I've been going through this with the BIS workforce, where they're getting used to the use of OneDrive and being able to actually edit a document on their phone on the go. And so with international travel devices, I'm looking at them going, okay, what do you actually need when you go abroad? Do you need a laptop? Do you need an iPad with a keyboard case? Or do you actually need just an iPhone? Because you can do an awful lot of work. I have done work on my iPhone in the past, you know that capability is capable. Because, you know, when I was on intermittent paternity leave earlier this year, Jason, as you know, I had my little baby boy, right? And so, but yes, and so I was right. And thank you. And so I still wanted to keep plugged in at work. Couldn't turn on my laptop every day because I'm helping my wife out with, you know, in the early days of the baby, but I had my iPhone on me. I was able to be productive and check emails, sign off on documents, stuff like that. So I think that's an interesting thing, is understanding the nuances of where IT is pervasive, because I think a lot of time people don't realize IT is more pervasive than you realize, direct and indirect.
Nagesh Rao is CIO in the Bureau of Industry and Security at the Commerce Department. You also heard from Jamie Holcomb, CIO for the Patent and Trademark Office. This was recorded during a recent ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll have more from that panel after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver certified, open source, and cloud-native software solutions to the U.S. government. Rancher Government Solutions RKE2 Kubernetes Distribution provides clients the security and ease of use, whether in the cloud, on-premises, or at the edge. Rancher delivers a full-stack solution and ecosystem of capabilities for your agency, while adhering to the robust security requirements of the U.S. government. Learn more at SUSARGS.com.
We now continue our airing of a recent ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. In this segment, you'll again hear from Nagesh Rao, Chief Information Officer at the Bureau of Industry and Security with the Department of Commerce, and Jamie Holcomb, Chief Information Officer for the Patent and Trademark Office. However, starting things off this time will be Tom Santucci, Director of IT Modernization at the General Services Administration's Office of Government-Wide Policy.
What challenges are the communities of practice supporting these efforts facing? What else do they need? What resources do they need? So I think that's the partly comes to you.
Tom. Let me just finish up on what Jamie was saying. I mean, who wouldn't want to work for this guy? I mean, this is public service at its best. You know, in working for agencies, you get, and if the closer you are to the mission, the more impactful you can be and more rewarding it can be. My time at FDA was second to none. Community of practices is really great. Mine's the cloud and infrastructure community practice. We have 3,600 members. We started a training program this year. We've trained over 1,700 feds, which I'm really proud of. I need more trainers. I need more budget. I need, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I need more, more, more. But I also need, you know, the community, the Centers of Excellence and 18F are doing really good jobs at big projects at big agencies. We've got nobody for the small agency. So I really need some help there in having some incidental support. I can train them to learn how to use the cloud, but if they're not comfortable, if they run into a jam, they need a 800 number to call to get them out. And I'd like to provide that for them first and foremost. And I think that's, you know, we're doing great in that regard. But and their people are eager to learn and transition to other services. We did CISSP training a year and a half ago. I had 400 people at two sessions. And some of them were retaking their CISSP just to get a refresher. But there's an eagerness to get in that field.
Jamie or Nagesh, you want to weigh in on communities of practice? I'm not sure how much you touch them from your day to day.
We use it. I leverage it all the time. In fact, I have my three division chiefs, my chief enterprise architect, my CXO, and my chief information security network officer. I plugged them into the federal communities of practice and have really made sure we're leveraging it because I really want them to understand the spectrum across. BIS is a tiny agency. We're small but mighty. And because of that, it like Tom said, it's important for us to be able to leverage those communities of practice because some of the bigger agencies like my brethren, Jamie over at PTO, they have, you know, larger scales of economy to work with. And so if we can partner with them in any way or shape or form, it helps create a better effect for all of us. So
I can't improve on that other than to verify and validate because Nagesh has reached out to me. I've reached out to Maria Rote. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on. Census, I've reached out there too, right? So communities of practice doesn't necessarily depend upon the CIOs reaching out. It's the line level reaching out. And that's even better because when you have that inherent interest at the line, when you're tactical, when you're doing those things, it's more real. It's visceral. It makes things happen. I love communities of practice.
Yeah. In fact, I'll just say, I put it into performance plans of my staff. They are required to be part of a community of practice. They are required to upskill. I actually forced them to do that kind of stuff. I said, it's in your plan. So they can't argue with me and say, oh, I don't know if I have time. I was like, no, it's in your plan. It's a deliverable. You must do this because it is for your benefit and for the agency's benefit that you're constantly learning, you're constantly upskilling, you're constantly exposing yourself to new ideas because that's how we can get better.
All right, let me jump in. Got two more questions. How is the government marketing themselves to the brightest young minds across the country? I feel as though the high performing students often don't look to public service as a way to begin their careers in digital transformation. Interesting perception. I think there's a lot going on with this administration around kind of reinvigorating the internship programs. But I'll just throw it out to anyone to talk about getting kind of the brightest young minds into public service.
Well, I mean, there's that U.S. Digital Core program that they've now recently launched that's designed to help with the initial pipeline of talent from the tech, you know, for folks who've just gotten their BCom or whatnot, BS, or just early in their early stage careers, that GS 9 to 11 route of tech service. So you've got that, you've got 18F, you've got the PIFs, you've got PMF. I think there's opportunities out there. I think it's being coordinated as best as possible. I mean, again, the needs of the government vary. You know, there's definitely the pipeline we want to develop and we want to cultivate it, but there's also the need for the folks who have some experience who can actually take the experience from their other, you know, private sector, not-for-profit sector realms and apply it to help us do better as a government.
All right, top challenges to modernization. Everyone give me 30 seconds or less. Tom, biggest challenges you're seeing around modernization, whether for you or for the people you work with?
I'll defer to Jamie because he's really hit the mark, is agile, is making sure you're doing it in small increments that you could see failure really quick.
All right. Nagesh?
I would say it's definitely culture change and around risk. I think there's a lot of fear around risk and risk taking. And I agree with some of the earlier sentiments from Jamie about risk. You know, if you fail quick, fail fast and pick up. And you know, here's the big thing, own it. Like, I've had successes and failures at projects I've worked on. I own the successes. I also own the failures. I don't try to hide it. I don't try to pin it on someone else. I go, nope, I messed up. This is where I messed up. I think there's, you know, the time wasn't right for it, but it's not a bad idea. It just wasn't ready at the time. It needed to be cooked a little bit more and fleshed out. So that's what I would say.
And before Jamie goes, I think that's one of the most important pieces. You own it. You, as the CIO, it's on me. Because I think too often in government that you get that risk aversion because there's someone not going, oh, you know, they're kind of doing one of those things, pointing in each direction. So I think you saying I own it is
I own it. Yeah. When I mess up, you'll hear me say, yep, I own it. And I will not lie about that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Just want to got to be clear on that. There's nothing wrong with owning it. I learned that many times in my life. It says
on my challenge coin, and I hope to see you all one day. Fortune favors the bold.
All right, we're a little late. So, Jamie, 30 seconds or less, you get the last word.
Thank you. I love the fact that Andy, Tom, and the guests, we all agree. It's all about culture. It's all about people, because that's what business we're in. We're in the people business, not the tech business. Saying that, I need to reach across the aisle because the biggest impediment to fast is procurement. The federal acquisition regulations give you the flexibility to operate within certain bounds. Read the damn FAR. Procurement officers are too risk averse. They do not use the tools that are given to them by the FAR. For God's sake, get stuff done in 90 days and don't tell me it can't be done.
You've been listening to our airing of a recent ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. Included on the panel was Nagesh Rao, Chief Information Officer at the Bureau of Industry and Security with the Department of Commerce, Jamie Holcomb, Chief Information Officer for the Patent and Trademark Office, along with Tom Santucci, Director of IT Modernization at the General Services Administration's Office of Government-Wide Policy. If you missed any of this episode, you can find it on our website. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions on Federal News Network.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver certified, open source, and cloud-native software solutions to the U.S. government. Rancher Government Solutions RKE2 Kubernetes Distribution provides clients the security and ease of use, whether in the cloud, on-premises, or at the edge. Rancher delivers a full-stack solution and ecosystem of capabilities for your agency, while adhering to the robust security requirements of the U.S. government. Learn more at SUSARGS.com.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network.
For news on the federal pay raise.
To learn how other agencies handle IT modernization.
To see how Congress funds my agency.
For changes to my TRICARE benefits.
Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.